line. But I suppose finding food will just have to wait. I need to get a look at those books before our 3 hours is up, and those damned heroes return. Come on. He snatched the iron mask off the floor. If he could find a forge in this citadel, perhaps he could repair the thing, then left the room. Kaz followed, rubbing his stomach and looking distinctly disappointed. Chapter 13. Ancient Tome. Rourke and Kaz crept back through the corridors, ears cocked toward the entrance for sounds of battle. Just because Poner Boner 007's raiding party wouldn't respawn for nearly 3 hours didn't mean other bands of heroes wouldn't attack the Citadel in the meantime. Though Rourke didn't want to waste any more time than necessary fighting heroes when he could be sifting through books and parchment, he had to admit he was interested to see what Kaz's new muscle could do in a brawl. In spite of the Citadel's natural attraction for raiders, they made it to the library unmolested and found the haphazard ruins of shelves and books untouched. Rourke immediately set to gathering the ancient tomes from the floor and rifling through their pages before stacking them wherever he could find room on the dusty wooden table. Kaz wandered behind him, looking lost for several minutes before finally asking,
"What is Rourke looking for?"
"A writing utensil and some empty parchment would be a good start. But if I have to, I'll use corners and margins from these." Rourke picked up a large volume that had been dropped pages down on the stone floor. Its crumbling leather spine crackled as he eased it closed. "I can inscribe spells on my flesh, but that's a painful death waiting to happen. It's much less dangerous if I put them down on paper. The portal spell specifically could do with as much stability as possible." He went to set the leather book down on top of a stack, then lifted it back up to inspect the board-bound book beneath, The Saucy Milkmaid.
"Ha! Huh, I'm fairly certain we have this one back in Traben."
Kaz eyed the book without enthusiasm.
"Reading is not Kaz's favorite."
"If it's the same version we have, then there's not much to read. Mostly pictures," Rourke said, dropping the flaking leather-bound volume from the floor on top of it.
"Though I'm sure some fool somewhere has tried to transcribe it before. Kaz will go look for writing utensils."
5 minutes and several dozen books later, the floor had been cleared. In an effort to follow some sort of logic, Rourke started at the far left-hand corner of the book-covered table and began investigating the contents of each tome more closely. Some, like the illuminated manuscript Zrakzotl's Exhortation, Volume 3, were a type of wisdom literature. "Do not pursue anything, my son, as you pursue the twins, logic and reason. They bring nimbleness to the thoughts, strength to the mind, truth to the lies, and structure to the chaos. They are the lovers of the alm soul, the fiery passions of our intellect. Forget not the teachings of your people, my son. There is no greater wisdom than that you should seek the twins first, forsaking all others." Others were historical tomes, such as Infernale and Malaika, Hearthworld's first peoples.
"Just as she'd issued forth the fertile crust of earth, the hearth spewed up first moonstone, then jet from the deepest parts of the core. When the stones touched the open sky, they sprouted wings, followed by bodies, arms, legs, and heads. The older brothers which sprang from the moonstone were as bright and zealous as the scorching summer sun, the younger from the jet as dark and jealous as the creeping shadows cast in its wake."
These he set aside to study later, if time allowed, of course. Still others were volumes of verse. Rogiri haikus seemed to dominate this category. He flipped through a few pages in Towering Clouds Bring Cool Relief of Shade, then Battering Storm, trying to find something useful. Nothing but atmospheric imagery and emotion. These he tossed onto the pile that he wouldn't mind sacrificing for scrap paper. As it turned out, in Hearthworld, The Saucy Milkmaid was not a picture book. Someone had managed to transcribe it after all.
Rorik wished the poor fool much happiness with his insatiable lover and her stable full of backdoor suitors as he tossed the board-bound manuscript onto the scrap pile. One book, Metallurgy as the Venexim Do, posed a conundrum. When Rorik opened the book, rather than a full page of text explaining the smithing practices of the Dark Elves, a box appeared. Metallurgy as the Venexim Do is a skill book. Reading will provide a permanent boost to your blacksmithing skill. You cannot read Metallurgy as the Venexim Do. You have not learned the trade skill blacksmithing. 4 years tradecraft at the academy and 2 years working smithies in exchange for room and board begs to differ, mate, Rorik muttered. Though the mage smith I was first apprenticed to might back you on that. Crotchety old hag. He tried to peer around the edges of the box, but there was some sort of ward preventing him from seeing the letters. He dropped the book into his inventory for later and turned to Kaz, who was rooting around in a pile of debris near the stone altar. How does one learn a trade skill?
Trolls cannot learn a trade skill, Kaz said matter-of-factly.
A day ago they couldn't loot heroes' corpses or eat food either, Rorik replied, a touch of irritation in his voice. Either because of the Worldstone pendant or because I'm not from Hearthworld, I can do whatever the heroes do. So, how do they learn a trade skill?
Such a skill must be learned through apprenticeship with one of the guilds, or by reading special magical tomes, Kaz said.
Apprenticeships take time that we don't have. Rorik rubbed his stubbleless blue jaw, recalling the bustling bazaar from his first brush with death. Give me a book over hard labor any day. If we can't find a special blacksmithing tome in here, we may have to visit the marketplace at some point.
Kaz's huge onyx eyes grew even wider.
But trolls cannot.
Maybe other trolls can't, but you and I can do whatever the bloody hells we please, Rorik said, returning to the remaining unread books before him.
When he exhausted the books on the table without coming across another magical tome or any information on portals, Rorik began searching the decaying and burned shelves that lined the walls. There he found A Modern Traveler's Guide to Hearthworld, another skill book he couldn't read because he hadn't learned the cartography skill. Into the inventory it went. The next several minutes went to sorting through multiple volumes of Rishi and the Time of the Oichi'i, Epic Saga of the Lost Ileksim Vinechief. Each volume a different size, shape, and color, as if whoever had amassed them had done so over a period of years from various and sundry sources. He was tempted to give that particular shelf up for a waste of time, but stopped short when he came to a bulky tome shoved into the corner. The book was covered in dust and streaked with scorch marks, but its soft gray leather binding seemed to have protected the rough-cut pages from harm. Rorik ran his hand across the velvety cover, then carefully slid one thumb over the strange raised runes worked into the spine. He could feel the thrum of arcane energy radiating up and into his flesh. Magic. Power. Hope. This was what he'd come looking for. Quickly, he accessed the book's properties. Initiate's Spellbook. Error, Warlock. Class compatible. Options: bind item, yes or no. Without a second thought, Rorik selected yes. A sound like chains being wrapped around a treasure chest clanked in his ears, and his palm tingled against the softened leather of the book. Initiate's Spellbook is now soulbound to you. Soulbound items cannot be stolen, given away, or dropped at death. He wondered idly if the Worldstone was soulbound as well as he dismissed that notice. It was immediately replaced by another. Congratulations! You can inscribe 3 level 1 spells! Success burned in Rorik's gut, more satisfying than any meal he'd ever eaten. A wide grin stretched across his face. He closed the spellbook and turned to find Kaz. The Thursar was in the corner, tracing a claw along the black metal joints of a stained glass window.
Kaz, you haven't come across any pen or ink yet, have you?
Kaz jumped a little, as if realizing he had become immersed in a daydream in the midst of an important task.
Not yet, he admitted sheepishly. Kaz was looking, but not finding.
He sighed heavily.
The books and papers are such dull colours, and the infernal lights are so bright and beautiful. Kaz is sorry, Rorik.
Don't worry about it, mate. Help me toss this place for a pen, then I promise we'll go somewhere more lively. At the sound of that, Kaz perked up, his floppy ears fluttering and twitching. The Thursar abandoned the stained glass windows and threw his bulky body into the search. Rorik joined in, clutching the spellbook to his side while he rifled through debris and ashes. In a matter of minutes, the two of them had found not just a quill, but an ink pot as well. Telling himself he knew better than to get his hopes up, yet unable to avoid it, Rorik warily unscrewed the cap. He just barely managed to stifle a whoop of satisfaction when he looked inside. Against all odds, the long-abandoned ink hadn't dried out over the years. Rorik opened up his initiate's spellbook. Every page was blank but for the reddish-brown foxing along their weathered edges. The palm of his left hand tingled, as if it had fallen asleep, and he looked down to find the spellbook levitating just above his upturned palm. Unable to contain himself with such an opportunity for experimentation, literally in the palm of his hand, Rorik dipped the quill into the ink, then began to write. A portal opens before me, leading to... But he'd scarcely put pen to paper when a notice appeared. You cannot perform that action. You haven't learned the calligraphy skill. As soon as he dismissed that notice, another one took its place. You cannot perform that action. The error portal spell is a 9th-level spell. Rorik cursed under his breath and slammed the spellbook shut. He squeezed the bridges of his nose and forced himself to push down the anger and frustration. A quick check told him they had little more than an hour before Ponerboner 007's party respawned. There is nothing for it, Rorik said. He looked up at Kaz. We'll have to go to the bazaar now. We can make it back in time if we hurry. He avoided adding that this was also assuming the portal spells in Hearthworld were more trustworthy than the ones where he came from, and instead pulled out the town portal scroll he'd looted from the corpses.
But Rorik and Kaz are infernal chimeras, Kaz insisted, a look of worry etched into the lines of his rough face. Monsters to be slain, not heroes to go walking around the marketplace in broad daylight. The heroes in this city will kill us.
Wouldn't be the first time Rorik had strolled through unfriendly streets with the threat of death upon discovery hanging over his head. Solutions raced through his mind. Disguises, heavy armor, a face-covering helm. He paused, eyeing Kaz's hulking new form. It was a dangerous play, but then they all were, weren't they?
Not if they don't know it's us, he said, pulling up his inventory.
Chapter 14. The Averi Marketplace.
Though Rorik was too small in his changeling body to pass for a human or other free race of Hearthworld, Kaz was not. Dressed in the boxy wooden Oragiri armor and wearing the suit's Kabuto helm with the Mempo facial armor covering everything from his nose down, the Thursar could easily pass for an extra burly Rog. As long as no one questioned why a Rog's skin was blue-tinged and coated in coarse white hair rather than smooth and green, they would be fine. Once Kaz was dressed in the Rog armor, Rorik opened the town portal scroll. The scroll itself vanished in a flash of violet light and puff of smoke. As designated in the spell's contents, a shimmering violet tear in space opened in the decrepit library. Rorik approached the portal warily. Being written on paper, this one must be more stable than the one he'd carved into his arm. But suppose this time it dumped him out in the center of an ocean to swim endless miles until exhaustion and creatures of the deep dragged him under. Or it took him apart and didn't put him back together again, changeling or otherwise. But going to the marketplace was their only option. Without the calligraphy skill, he would be worthless, locked away from his best spells and the bound initiate's spellbook completely unusable. All this time spent searching the library would go to waste.
Well, nothing ventured, Rorik said, affecting a nonchalant shrug.
He took a deep breath, pressed his eyes shut, and stepped into the portal. Rather than the pain of being taken apart piece by piece and rebuilt over endless eons, Rorik felt an icy breeze blow over his entire body. If he'd had hair, it would have ruffled slightly, but other than a case of goosebumps prickling down his back and arms, he felt no ill effects. Not so much as a headache or a twinge of nausea, which were common even with the simplest portals of his homeworld. Fascinating. A moment later, Rorik felt solid cobblestones beneath his bare feet. The milling sounds of human movement, talking, laughing, shouting, and splashing water surrounded him. Through the air wafted the scent of roasting meat, fresh fruit, and sweet pastries, making his empty stomach snarl like a rabid wolf. He had come out in a fountain court, his portal only one of dozens scattered around the cobblestone plaza. As he watched, heroes in an assortment of armor and mages' robes stepped out of the shimmering portals, some laughing and talking with comrades, others looking as if they were at death's door and had only just managed to escape. The click and talk of wooden armor drew Rorik's mind to the portal behind him. Kaz had made it through as well. Rorik gave Kaz's armored form a quick inspection. Nothing seemed to be amiss.
"How are you, mate?" Rorik whispered.
"So many heroes,"
Kaz said, his voice radiating fearful awe. The wooden armor rattled slightly as the Thursar quaked.
"And you're one of them," Rorik said sternly. "Remember that."
Hunching over like a mindless familiar, Rorik pasted a vacant expression on his face and set off in a trot toward the din and smell of the marketplace. As he'd hoped, Kaz quickly seemed to realize that if he didn't follow, he would be left alone. The Thursar hurried to catch up, then fell into step beside Rorik. Once Kaz's legs started moving, he loosened up a bit, swinging his arms a little more zealously than the other heroes around him. Rorik kept pace beside him, trying his best to look subservient. It wasn't a mien he was accustomed to. A few people faltered and stared as they passed, but none made a move to stop them. They soon found themselves at the outskirts of a sprawling bazaar. Wooden stalls and brightly colored tarps made up a patchwork of bustling businesses, with more permanent shops housed in the stone and mortar buildings at the edges. From all sides, an orchestra of shouts hawked quality goods at unheard-of prices and claimed they knew a shrewd shopper when they saw one. The fountain court had been busy with incoming traffic, but the bazaar was positively overrun with people. Nameplates filled the air like a low cloud, so dense in some places that it obscured the faces of the tallest heroes. Even the alleyways were alive with commerce, though of a shadier sort. As Rorik passed one, he caught sight of a pale elf arguing with a hollow-eyed ulm and emaciated human in the shadows. The elf quickly turned away as if to hide his face, and the ulm and human tried to look inconspicuous, leaning casually against the wall and scratching bleeding sores in their cheeks and arms. Rorik left them to it and began searching the marketplace for any hint of a bookseller. Unfortunately, the number of customers crowding the marketplace, combined with Rorik's changeling height, put him at a distinct disadvantage.
"Can't see a bloody thing but knees and codpieces," he grumbled. "Are there any bookshops here, Kaz?"
The Thursar's boxy helm swiveled left, then right, the Mempo faceplate clacking against its sides.
"Kaz thinks he sees one,"
Kaz said, pointing.
"Lead away."
They hadn't made it more than 5 paces when a wooden stall filled with racks of armor and weapons caught Rorik's eye. In Traben, even the meanest scrap of parchment could set a man's purse back. Though he had no idea what books cost in Hearthworld, he doubted several books filled with arcane knowledge would come cheap.
"Hang on just a moment," he said, catching Kaz's arm. "Let's see if we can sell the spoils we took off our friends."
With a thought, Rorik opened his inventory page on the left, then focused on Kaz. On the right, Kaz's inventory appeared. He quickly loaded Kaz down with everything they didn't need.
"Sell everything but your kopesh and the armor you're wearing," Rorik instructed.
Kaz gave a jerky nod and walked up to the armor seller, beefy arms swinging conspicuously hard. The seller saw the Thursar coming and erupted in a wide grin.
"Ah, my friend, you have come to upgrade your armor. Never fear. Variok has just the mail for you.
No, my friend, Kaz stuttered.
In the thin swatch of space between the top of his helmet and the faceplate, Rorik could see nervous sweat roll down the Thursar's temple, dampening the coarse white hair.
Your weapons, then! What providence, for I just received a rare three-headed Cerberus you cannot pass up!
From the table behind him, the seller grabbed a three-headed flail, radiating an aura of scarlet-veined orange light.
And the price! I must be crazy to sell for so close to nothing!
Won't sell to you!
Kaz blurted in all one breath.
Why did you not say so?
The seller crowed, tossing the flail over his shoulder. It landed on the wooden table with three near-simultaneous thuds. The spiked balls gouged out bits of wood on impact.
Let us make a deal, though I warn you, I am not a good haggler. I can already see you will get the better of me.
The transaction took a nerve-wrackingly long time and frayed Rorik's patience to within an inch of his self-control, but when Kaz exchanged the final dagger for the last handful of gold pieces, they were 102 pounds lighter and 178 gold richer.
I cannot believe how you cleaned me out,
the seller claimed through the wide smile on his face.
I am beggared, my friend. You come back to Variok any time you are in a very city.
Rorik had just pulled Kaz away from the armor stall and back into the crowd toward the bookseller the Thursar had spotted when a voice wondered aloud.
Hey, what's a goblin doing here?
Rorik cringed. Kaz froze on the spot.
It's a troll, Wingus, another voice said. Either way, what's a mob doing in the marketplace?
Kaz's mempo faceplate emitted a soft whine.
You're a hero,
Rorik hissed to the Thursar off the side of his mouth.
Same as any of them.
But he closed one fist around the hilt of his dagger just in case.
You just sold our gear, and now you're on to do some shopping. Nothing strange about that.
A rogue mage in a jade silk kimono and a female elf in oiled leathers caught up to them. The mage knocked on Kaz's square wooden spalder. The huge Thursar flinched, but thankfully didn't scream.
Dude, what's with the troll? The mage asked.
Kaz mumbled a garbled answer that was more breath than voice.
Who now?
The mage leaned in closer, cocking his ragged green ear at Kaz's mouth.
Where'd you get him?
Quest reward,
Kaz croaked, leaning backward as if repelled by a shield spell.
Dude.
Oh, no freaking way! The mage returned. What quest?
Kaz's black eyes grew wide, staring back at the mage in bewildered terror. Rorik saw the Thursar's hands twitch upward and felt certain in that moment that Kaz was fighting not to rake his wicked black claws down the sides of his face in a panic.
Was it that Christmas Day event?
The elfess asked.
I heard they were handing out unique familiars.
Yes,
Kaz shouted suddenly.
Christmas! I was given a unique familiar. This familiar, his name is Rorik. My familiar from Christmas.
Okay, said the mage, exchanging a meaningful glance with the elfess. Cool familiar, bud.
Yes, dude,
Kaz agreed, still too loudly. Rorik cringed.
Good Christmas, familiar. Unique event. Pwned it.
Good for you,
the elfess said, patting Kaz on the arm affectionately.
You keep on getting down with your bad self.
No, not bad,
Kaz rushed to assure her.
Kaz is a hero.
The elfess gave Kaz an encouraging smile.
Of course you are, champ.
At the somewhat patronizing tone in her voice, Rorik's hand slipped away from the dagger. They thought Kaz was simple. That might be a touch insulting, but it wouldn't get them killed. The rogue mage turned to go, but didn't make it a step before snorting loudly into his hand. The elfess elbowed him hard as they disappeared into the crowd. Kaz looked down at Rorik, eyes still wide and terrified over the helmet's wooden faceplate.
Bookshop, Rorik said. The sooner we find it, the sooner we can get out of here.
After that pronouncement, Kaz practically barreled through the press of bodies. Rorik heard at least one other hero question loudly whether he'd just seen a troll,
But Kaz didn't even slow, just bellowed,
"Unique Christmas, familiar event,"
as he continued to push through the crowd. Finally, near the edge of the marketplace, Rorik caught a glimpse of a hanging wooden sign between the sea of shoulders. Mogrifa and Mogrifa, arcane booksellers. Just outside the bookshop sat a stall displaying a variety of roasted meats and vegetables on wooden skewers. Kaz's head-down bull rush slowed to a stop as he reached the vendor. He turned to Rorik, eyes wide and pleading, a trail of drool dripping from the bottom edge of the faceplate. The smell hit Rorik, smoky and spicy at once. His mouth watered. "No," he shook his head, mercilessly forcing down the gnawing hunger in his own stomach. "We don't know how much these books are going to cost, and we've already wasted too much time." Impossibly, Kaz's eyes grew wider and glittered as if he were near tears. He looked more like a stray puppy begging for scraps than the level 4 Thurser who could toss heavy metal coffin lids over his head and make dents in stone walls with nothing but his fists.
"But Kaz has never eaten before, Rorik," he pleaded in a near whisper.
That was when the vendor spotted them. She put on a bright smile and picked up a skewer in each hand, holding them invitingly close to her low-cut bodice.
"Looking for a taste of something wonderful, adventurer?"
she asked in a voice more suited to a bedroom than a marketplace.
"Only 2 gold apiece, big guy. You'll not find better prices than that in all of Airy City."
"So cheap, Rorik,"
Kaz cooed.
"Big strapping fellow like you's got to eat," the vendor purred. She giggled. "You're not going to stand there and tell me you're not even a little tempted, are you?"
Kaz nodded emphatically.
"Kaz is so hungry."
"Well, what are you waiting for?"
She waved the skewers under Kaz's nose, inadvertently bombarding Rorik with the scent as well. The aroma of the spices curled inside Rorik's nostrils, demanding his attention, and a sheen of juicy grease shined on the meat. The empty hole at his center roared. He swallowed hard and cursed himself. He pulled 4 gold coins out and pressed them stealthily into Kaz's huge fist, telling himself he was giving in just to end this incessant delay and get back to the business at hand. "But if we can't pay for even one of the books we need, I'm trading your new armor to get it," he mumbled. As Rorik expected, the vendor's seductive manner wore off as soon as the money changed hands. Neither he nor Kaz cared. They were too busy devouring their meat and vegetable skewers. The meat had a thin crust of warming spices protecting its exterior, and when Rorik crunched through to the meat below, savory juices flooded his mouth. The vegetables, likewise, had been seasoned and flame-kissed, but they were still crisp and succulent. Rorik couldn't remember a time he'd eaten such luxurious fare. Maybe not since his family had still inhabited Graf Manor. That thought functioned like a kick in the ribs. His family wasn't in Graf Manor anymore, because the Tyrant King had killed them along with countless other nobles and commoners who wouldn't bow to him. And the only way Rorik was going to make the bastard pay for his crimes was by leveling himself up enough to open a portal home and kill him. The only way to do that was by killing those players once again, and to do that, he needed to unlock his magic. He couldn't unlock his magic standing out in the street eating. "Bookshop," Rorik growled, wiping the grease from his fingers onto his dirty loincloth and tossing the empty skewer aside. He strode forward and pulled open the shop door, jerking his head to Kaz to precede him inside. The Thurser went, sucking the last of the grease from his fingers contentedly. Chapter 15, King of Wolves. From the time they walked into the bookshop, Kaz spoke about nothing but the magical wonders of food. While Rorik searched through the overstuffed shelves for the trade skill books, the enraptured Thurser reminisced fondly about the juicy tenderness of meat in its smoky, fire-crisp skin. As Rorik searched the titles and debated which areas of specialty would come in most handy, carefully marking the spine of each book they would need with one black claw, Kaz exulted in the remembered crunch of vegetables between his teeth and the warm fullness of nourishment in his belly.
Rorik was frankly getting sick of hearing Kaz rehash his limited experience with spices when he ran across a leather-bound cooking trade skill book, its letters gilded with handsome gold leaf. He'd already marked calligraphy, blacksmithing, cartography, tailoring, and enchanting for Kaz to buy. The Thursar had picked up each marked tome without missing a beat in his seemingly endless soliloquy about food. The ghost of a smile tugged at Rorik's lips. He wondered whether Kaz would even notice if he marked the volume on cooking. They had just enough gold left for one more trade skill, and they would need to eat after all. He scratched his thumb claw down the leather-bound spine, then nodded to Kaz.
"That's the last of it," Rorik said low enough that only Kaz could hear. "We're running out of time before our heroes respawn. Let's get these paid for and back to the Citadel."
Kaz nodded, picking up the cooking skill book, his onyx eyes skipping over the gilt letters on the cover as he added it to the stack under his left arm.
"It is truly a wonder of innovation, taking the muscle, bone, and fat of a creature and holding it over a fire," he said, starting toward the end of the rows of shelves. "Kaz would love to watch the..."
The Thursar's thought trailed off unfinished, and he came to a halt at the end of the aisle. Rorik waited. Eyes bulging wider than ever before, Kaz snatched the leather-bound book off the top of the stack and brought it up to within an inch of his face.
"This cannot be," he whispered, turning back. "Rorik, we'll learn to make food."
"No, all my trade skill slots are going to necessities," Rorik pointed at the Thursar's broad chest. "Kaz will learn to make food."
There was no warning. One moment, Kaz was standing at the end of the row. The next, he had Rorik in his tree trunk arms, crushing the breath from his bird-like changeling chest.
"So kind,"
Kaz blubbered, fat tears falling on top of Rorik's leathery blue scalp.
"Such a treasure. No troll has ever... But Kaz will... For Kaz to be chosen out of all of troll kind, lonely Kaz, now cook because of Rorik."
The few other patrons in the hushed silence of the bookshop leaned around shelves searching for the source of the disturbance.
"Hold it together, man,"
Rorik hissed with the small amount of air left in his lungs. With some difficulty, he extricated himself from Kaz's crushing grasp.
"You're drawing attention."
Kaz dragged the back of one wooden Oragiri bracer across his nose with a long, wet sniff.
"Kaz is sorry. Today has been filled with more than Kaz could ever have dreamed."
The overwrought Thursar managed to pay the bookseller without bursting into tears again. Then he and Rorik stepped out into the bright sunlight.
"We need to get back as quickly as possible,"
Rorik said as they pushed through the never-ending bustle of the bazaar toward the Fountain Court and Citadel portal.
"Once I've unlocked the calligraphy..."
He stopped abruptly as three familiar forms turned the corner ahead of them.
"That little turd burglar is gonna be in a world of hurt,"
the archer said, his voice scraping down the back of Rorik's neck like nails on a slate.
"Grief me, like hell he will. You D-bags better have your A-game on this time."
The heroes from the cell, a red-faced Poner Boner 007 in the lead, were coming right at them.
"Oh, sure. We're the ones to blame,"
Rogstar Kell rolled her yellow eyes. Apparently, the trip to the bazaar had taken longer than Rorik expected. The trio had already respawned and were headed toward the marketplace, most likely to buy some weapons and armor for their next run at the Citadel. Rorik grabbed Kaz's arm and wheeled him into the shadowed alleyway to their left. From the street, Rorik heard Poner Boner 007 ask,
"Hey, was that... Did you guys see that?"
"Anything interesting you're looking for?"
a honeyed voice asked Kaz. It was the elf they'd seen selling to the hollow-eyed human and Olm earlier.
"I've got a little something for every occasion."
They needed to move, and fast. Rorik had dealt with illicit peddlers like this lanky elf many times in the back alleys and dark places of Corvo and 100 other cities across Traben. He gave the peddler the only no the elf would understand. Shouldering past. His tiny changeling body barely ruffled the elf's 7-foot-tall form, but the impact of Kaz's solid bulk sent the merchant sprawling into the grime-caked wall.
"You know where to find me,"
the peddler called at their retreating backs. The two kept right on moving.
The alleyway came to a T, and Rorik directed Kaz down the left path.
I'm losing my mind, man! Poner Boner 007's voice drifted down the alleyway behind them. That damned troll is getting to me. I could have swore I just saw it.
You probably just overdid it on the Ritalin. Come on already. We need to gear up if we're headed back over there.
Rorik put on an extra burst of speed. The alleyway dumped out onto a side street. Rorik stopped Kaz at the mouth, looking up and down the street for Poner Boner 007's raiding party.
It's clear, he said. We've got to get back to the Citadel before they do.
Struggling to keep the guise of mindless familiar in place, Rorik led the way through the twisting and turning streets to the Fountain Courts. The one bit of good news was that the heroes still had to shop the marketplace and make their way back to the Citadel on foot, while Rorik and Kaz could simply use their portal scroll. That would buy them a little time. Hopefully it would be enough. Rorik barreled into the shimmering violet rift, followed close behind by the clacking and talking wooden armor on the Thurser. The chill of Hearthworld portals poured over his leathery changeling skin, and within seconds, he was blinking away the purple-green afterimages of the sunlit Fountain Court as his eyes adjusted back to the dim torchlight of the decrepit library. Kaz stumbled to a stop beside him, reeling uncertainly, arms outthrust for balance.
All right, first things first.
Rorik cut off sharply as the sound of ringing steel and the clatter of armored boots on stone assaulted his ears. It couldn't be Poner Boner 007's party, but with the number of raids the Citadel faced each day, it was almost certainly another band of heroes attacking. A dying scream echoed off the stones. One of his fellow changelings had just met an untimely and violent end. Rorik pulled out his rapier and dashed from the library, Kaz's heavy tread clomping along behind him. In a room near the end of the corridor, just past the torture chamber, they found a pair of heroes in mismatched plate mail, one hacking at a shadow on the floor, her shining katana throwing up sparks, the other chopped into a toppled wooden desk with a pair of war axes. The bloody, hacked-apart corpses of stone salamanders littered the floor. The room must have been their nest. The hero with the war axes, an Olm by the looks of his bulbous head and wide, pale eyes, let out an undignified shriek as a level 3 stone salamander appeared just to his right. The snarling creature was trapped between the remains of the desk and the corner, covered in gore, and his filigreed vial flashed a warning over his head. Gashes all over his body wept bloody tears, but the creature lunged and snapped at his attackers like a rabid mountain wolf.
Over here, Brit!
The Olm spun on the spot, dealing out slashing damage. He and the woman were slightly higher levels than Poner Boner 007 and his party, and he wielded his dual axes with wicked precision, but he and his companion had both taken heavy hits themselves. Before Kaz could lurch into the battle, Rorik stopped him. That tough little stone bastard and his family had done the majority of the job for him. But they couldn't afford to take severe damage right before Poner Boner 007's trio returned. Instead of rushing in, Rorik pulled out two of his remaining 3 scrolls. He broke Fireball open with the curved claw on his thumb, casting it at the heroes with a blinding flash of red-orange light like a concentrated sunrise in the small room. The Olm and woman screamed, instinctively shielding their faces from the blaze. The red bars over the heroes' heads dropped by several points. Suddenly, they were hovering near half health. Without giving them a chance to recover, Rorik snapped the seal on the next scroll and cast the Spectral Hands spell at their feet. The dusty parchment ignited in a flash of pale blue light, and Rorik's health dipped a few points in response. Ghostly hands ending in long, spindly fingers erupted from the floor, grabbing at the heroes' feet and ankles, trapping them in place.
Now!
Rorik shouted, bolting in with his slender rapier. He needn't have bothered giving a signal at all. Kaz was already bellowing a war cry and charging in with his kopesh raised high. The heroes tried to defend themselves, cursing and shouting as they slashed awkwardly but couldn't move to a better position with their feet held fast. In a handful of brutal attacks, Kaz and Rorik finished them off, the stone salamander fighting viciously alongside them in spite of its waning health and myriad of bloody wounds. It wasn't until the heroes lay dead on the floor and the spectral hands had melted back into nothingness that Rorik realized
he just wasted 2/3 of his remaining one-off scroll spells on a creature that would respawn in 2 hours. But it didn't feel like a waste. The vicious little salamander had been surrounded by the corpses of his family, cornered, outnumbered, and dying, but still fighting. If that sort of grit didn't deserve a rescue, then nothing did. In truth, Rorik saw a bit of himself, his fierce pride and willingness to fight inside the vicious little beast. At the edge of the room, the stone salamander prowled, eyeing Rorik and Kaz warily. It bared needle-like teeth and growled menacingly. Clearly, the creature expected another attack and was ready to make its last stand. Slowly, Rorik knelt and held out a hand. The creature must have caught the scent of the meat from the market lingering on his fingers. It slithered over, skittish but curious, and sniffed them. A wide, sticky tongue darted out, tasting the last traces of grease and yanking Rorik slightly off balance as it pulled back in. Rorik chuckled and righted himself. Without making any sudden moves, he reached out again. A growl rumbled in the salamander's throat. Carefully, Rorik rested a soothing palm on the creature's cool jowl. The growling quieted, and the creature's fat, paddle-like tail twitched. Current Worldstone Authority, Greater Vassal, 1 of 3. Use Soul Forge? Yes or no?
What do you think, you bloodthirsty little macaronin? Rorik whispered to the creature, scratching soothing circles on its skin. Want to come with me? I promise I'll bring you significantly more battles than you'll find hiding in here.
The salamander chirped and leaned in to Rorik's scratching.
It's settled then.
He triggered the Soul Forge. Awareness entered the creature's wide, rolling eyes, and a new notice appeared. A stone salamander is a lesser beast. To proceed, you must name your greater vassal.
Easy, Rorik said. Macaronin, the king of the wolves, ruler of the mountains.
Macaroni has become your greater vassal.
What?
Rorik blinked, certain he was reading the letters wrong.
No, Macaronin. Mac-a-ro-nin,
he enunciated. The two don't even sound similar. Behind him, Kaz giggled. Rorik rounded on the Thursar with a glower.
I said Macaronin. You heard me. How do I change his name?
Rorik cannot change a name once it has been accepted by the creature, Kaz said, a toothy grin stretched across his face.
At Rorik's feet, the stone salamander's flat tongue darted out and stuck to his knee, demanding more head-scratching. The nameplate Macaroni hung prominently over the creature's head.
Macaroni,
Rorik muttered darkly, scratching between the creature's shoulders just behind its neckless head.
I better have leveled up from this.
Chapter 16. The Art of Lettering.
As it turned out, Rorik hadn't leveled up, but he was close. Very close. Rorik hurried to loot the corpses of the stone salamander-killing heroes, Macaroni slithering along behind him like a faithful hound. The creature, at least, didn't seem to mind its ridiculous name. Kaz watched uneasily as Rorik turned out the hero's inventories. Sadly, there wasn't any time to inspect the weapons, armor, and oddments they'd retrieved. Ponerboner 007's party could be on their way back to the Citadel at that very moment.
Let's go.
Rorik dropped the pilfered items into his inventory and headed out of the massacred salamander nest into the stone corridor.
We've got to prepare for our hero's return.
Macaroni's coloration shifted until he was invisible against the stone floor, but Rorik could feel the salamander at his side, fat legs waddling along. Kaz hurried to follow, stumbling over Macaroni's paddle-like tail as he pulled up alongside Rorik.
Will Rorik and Kaz reset the traps?
The Thursar asked.
Unfortunately, these raiders aren't stupid. Short-sighted, perhaps, but not stupid. They'll be expecting traps now,
Rorik said, eyeing the Oragiri armor complete with Mempole faceplate that Kaz had not yet removed.
We may yet be able to take them by surprise, however.
As they turned a corner, Macaroni's sticky tongue slapped against the back of his calf. Rorik shook his head. 2 minutes, a greater vassal, and already spoiled rotten. He reached down to scratch the bloodthirsty little monster's camouflaged head, eliciting a satisfied chirp, seemingly from the flagstones.
Perhaps we can come up with one that utilizes all of our new resources, Rorik said, mental cogs turning furiously. He would need more spells for the plan he was forming.
When they made it back to the cell, Rorik was relieved to see that all five corpses were still there among the debris and sprung traps. Their window of time was closing, but it hadn't shut yet.
What should Kaz do?
The Thursar asked.
Whatever you like for the moment, Rorik said. I need to study if we are to get the better of these heroes.
Kaz shrugged and picked up the dented and spiked coffin lid from the dismantled blackthorn bed. This he began balancing on one rough blue palm. Macaroni crawled up the farthest wall and watched the precarious spectacle with warily rolling eyes. Taking his cue from the stone salamander, Rorik retreated to a corner where he wouldn't be crushed by falling coffin lids and pulled the calligraphy trade skill book from his inventory. The book was large and bulky, the exterior covered in supple brown leather, golden lettering carefully engraved upon the spine. Calligraphy and the art of lettering, it read. Reverently, he cracked the book open, balancing it in his undersized palms. The first few pages spelled out in painstaking detail the correct way to hold a pen and position one's arms and sleeves so the ink wouldn't be smeared. Rorik raked a claw-tipped hand across a scalp that used to be covered in hair and skimmed the section on the proper dipping of nibs and blotting of fresh pages. He took a deep breath and exhaled slowly, trying to push away the frustration. These were all minor mechanics of writing that he'd studied extensively at the academy. His instructors hadn't even let him touch a real pen or inkpot until he could perfectly demonstrate his understanding of them with a wooden practice stylus and empty pot. He didn't need a refresher on the basics. Just as he was beginning to think he would run out of time and have to fight the heroes unprepared, he came to a page of handsome letters calligraphed in lilting black scrawl. A notification appeared. Congratulations! You have learned the trade skill calligraphy. You only have 4 trade skill slots. Are you sure you would like to add calligraphy, yes or no? That sure beat the bloody hells out of studying. If he could have gotten his hands on an arcane tome like this when he was 5, he could have saved himself a whole year at the academy. Without a second thought, Rorik selected yes. Gold light bloomed from his skin, and an ascending chime rang through the cell. Level up! Rorik quickly dismissed this and the accompanying notification that he had 10 undistributed stat points. Those would have to be dealt with later. Right now, he had spells to write for the upcoming confrontation with Poner Boner 007's raiding party. Rorik dug the soul-bound initiate spellbook out of his inventory, along with the pen and inkpot he and Kaz had found in the crumbling library. His left palm began to tingle as the spellbook levitated just inches above it. He dipped the pen in the inkwell, then braced himself for the inevitable notice that he could not perform this action for some newfound reason, and pressed the nib to paper. You are inscribing a spell in Initiate's spellbook. Inscribed spells may be used 1 time per inscription. Once cast, the inscribed spell will disappear from the Initiate's spellbook and must be re-inscribed before being cast again. Warning. There is a 2-hour cooldown period between casting and reinscription of spells. Rorik grinned, his hands shaking with excitement and relief. He was allowed to write once again. All was well in the world. He'd handled this strange land the best he could on his wits alone, but now he could reach into his bag of familiar spells and cantrips, those old weapons that he'd staked his life on more than once in his homeworld. With magic, he could make all things right, eventually. Reminding himself to breathe, Rorik steadied his hand and began to write the first spell that came to mind. Every human, elf, rog, and olm in a 30-foot radius becomes instantly paralyzed. The words disappeared, leaving the pages clean as if he'd never touched pen to parchment, and a notification appeared in their place. Mass paralysis spell is a skill level 4 spell. You cannot inscribe mass paralysis at this time. Rorik grimaced, but shook away his irritation. No matter. He'd spent the better part of his time at the academy thinking around these sorts of arbitrary rules magic users tended to employ. like the time he'd managed to write his spell, opening the sealed door that led to the masters-only section of the library without sounding the alarm. That had been in his second year. If Loen hadn't tattled on him, Rorik would have spent the night reading about the arcane secrets meant only for the highest levels of education. Though, admittedly, there had been a few times when he'd found out the hard way that some rules existed for the protection of the caster, such as the time in his fourth year when he nearly boiled himself and a pretty older student alive from the inside out, trying to impress her by heating her tea. Rorik pushed aside the memories and started writing again. Any combination of two humans, elves, rogs, or olms within a 15-foot radius, minor paralysis spell is a skill level 3 spell. You cannot inscribe minor paralysis at this time. One human, elf, rog, or olm within a 10-foot paralysis spell is a skill level 2 spell. You cannot inscribe paralysis spell at this time.
Seven elves take it, he cursed.
Fine. He would let his mind tumble the problem around while he worked on the other spells, then come back to paralysis. For now, something basic. A fireball. It was one of the first destructive spells he had learned, and certainly the one every young boy went into the academy eager to try. For a moment, Rorik was tempted to give the rudimentary wording a bit of a twist, a deadly concussive blast radius, but he quickly shook the thought from his mind. That would probably turn out to be a level 30 or some such nonsense that he couldn't inscribe at this time. He wrote, "A ball of fire slams into the target, burning them for 10 seconds. Congratulations, you have inscribed Fireball in the Initiate's spellbook. Fireball can be cast one time per inscription. Base damage 10 HP, plus 1 burn damage per second. Cooldown period between casting Fireball and reinscription, 2 hours. Satisfied that the fireball spell had taken, Rorik turned the page and set about writing out the cantrip he had used in his very first skirmish with Poner Boner 007's party. It was a simple stunner, but for the moment, simple was all the arbitrary laws of Hearthworld would allow. The air within 10 feet compresses rapidly, then ignites. This one took as well. Rorik gave the spell book's response a quick final check before dismissing it. Congratulations, you have inscribed Stun Spell in the Initiate's spellbook. Stun Spell can be cast one time per inscription. Base damage 2 HP to all targets in area of effect, plus 50% chance of stunning all targets. Stunned targets have reduced vision, hearing, and balance for 1 times character level seconds. Cooldown period between casting Stun Spell and reinscription, 2 hours. He turned to the next page. One spell slot left, and writing on borrowed time. Simple spells. Basic spells. Hundreds of thousands were fighting toward the forefront of his brain from any number of specialties he'd studied before and after his few years of formal education. Damn it all, he desperately wanted to use a version of paralysis. It would be the most efficient way of carrying out this round of battle. There must be a way to dumb it down to a skill level 1. Closing his eyes, Rorik willed himself to see the stone-walled cell, as though for the first time. He reopened them. Kaz was slashing at an imaginary opponent with his curved, bladed kopesh. Macaroni, hells, that creature needed a new name, that was the least fearsome name in the history of all war beasts, stalked the ceiling overhead, occasionally lashing out with his wide, sticky tongue, then crunching away at the insects he caught. The hero's corpses lay in and around the debris and trap components scattered throughout the room. Rorik's eyes fell on the doorway. A perfect choke point, just begging for a conditionally triggered spell. All right, Rorik said, capturing the Thursar's and the stone salamander's attention. Here's the plan. On the floor, Kaz stopped practicing and kicked the discarded coffin lid aside so he could plop down at Rorik's feet. Macaroni slithered across the ceiling directly over Rorik's head, looking down and listening, his head cocked to one side. The beast looked surprisingly curious. As he outlined their individual duties, Rorik wrote furiously in the initiate's spellbook. This time, the inscription took. Chapter 17. The Griefer. Minutes after Rorik finished explaining the plan, the sounds of battle filled the Citadel's sprawling anteroom. He signaled for Kaz and Macaroni to take their places, then collapsed in the center of the room as if dead. The clash of steel on steel, the screams of dying changelings, and the shouts of the raiding party echoed down the corridor and into the cell. One voice in particular grated on Rorik's eardrums. Poner Boner 007. As before, the heroes waded through the anteroom with what sounded like minimal effort, and their footfalls soon echoed in the hallway.
Okay, Junior, you're out front,
Poner Boner 007 ordered in a hoarse stage whisper.
I want detect traps cast on that room before anybody sets foot inside.
Yippee,
the female mage's bored voice responded, not bothering to match his low tone.
Shh,
Poner Boner 007 snapped.
It's not like they can hear me,
Junior drawled.
They're just mobs, loser.
You wouldn't be saying that if this was your second time coming back to get your crap. Are we within your casting range yet, or do we need to get closer?
A protracted sigh.
I can see the door, so I can cast.
The twanging sound of a wire being tripped vibrated through the air. Rorik kept his eyes closed and his muscles slack, but the backs of his eyelids flashed with blue-green light.
No active booby traps, Junior reported.
You're sure?
Poner Boner 007 asked.
Holy crap,
said a male voice Rorik recognized as belonging to the heavily armored, dark elf dude Farkowitz.
You gotta see this shiz, Poner.
A moment's stunned silence settled over the party. Only the shuffling clank of their armor gave away their position. They were just outside the room now, surely peering in at the strange tableau Rorik had set for them. Still playing dead, Rorik could imagine the scene from the raiders' point of view. Traps cleared away, pushed to the sides of the room. Their corpses laid out across the far side of the cell, as if awaiting their proper writ and burial, and one very tall warrior in a wooden suit of Oragiri armor, holding a wicked-looking kopesh and standing over the body of a blue-skinned changeling.
Thank God somebody finally got that little shit,
Poner Boner 007 said, the smirk loud in his tone. Footsteps sounded on the cell's stone floor as he stepped inside.
For a second there, I was starting to think the little cock knocker was some invincible quest monster.
Nah, dude,
Kaz offered, drawing out the words just a little too long in his attempt to imitate the hero's speech.
Quick little, knocker, though. Would this be you dudes?
Yep, that's us,
the dark elf said, heavy armor clanking as he shuffled into the cell toward the row of neatly laid out corpses. The sound of more bodies followed him. The clack and talk of Kaz's wooden armor let Rorik know that the Thursar was moving into position behind the heroes. With an effort of will, Rorik bit back the smug expression threatening to expose him. Dead changelings didn't smile, not even when their plans came off without a hitch.
Hey, wait just a fucking second,
Poner Boner 007 snapped.
This thing's health bar is still full. Damn it, it's another trap.
Make that nearly without a hitch. Rorik's eyes snapped open, and he pulled his spellbook free. Poner Boner 007 was standing over him, hastily drawing a poor-quality bow knocked with an equally shoddy arrow. Before the archer could get off his shot, Rorik cast the stun spell. The air compressed suddenly, then erupted, throwing Dude Farkowitz, Junior, and Poner Boner 007 from their feet. Both the male and female Rogs had managed to remain standing, but both were blinking their eyes rapidly and listing unsteadily as they pulled out low-level weapons. Rog Star Kel had a sad-looking short sword and a rusty mace this time, whereas the male Rog was wielding a pitted halberd that had certainly seen better days. Before the Rogs had time to recover from the stun, only the length of a second, as Rorik's skill level was still at one, Kaz rushed in, swinging his kopesh at hamstrings and bashing heads with his dented buckler. Not wanting to waste his advantage either, Rorik drew the slender rapier with his right hand and cast Fireball on Poner Boner 007 with his left. The archer screamed as the orb of flame slammed into his shoulder and a blazing inferno engulfed him, scorching armor and biting at exposed flesh. He batted frantically at the flames, trying to smother them, but with no success. Dude Farkowitz, the elf warrior, took one look from the burning archer to the rampaging Thurser.
Nope! The elf scrambled to his feet and sprinted for the door. Nope! Nope! No!
The moment the elf's heavily armored foot touched the threshold, Rorik's final spell triggered. The first creature to step across this threshold twice becomes paralyzed on the spot. The 7-foot-tall elf warrior blocked the doorway as effectively as any heavy wooden table ever could, effectively trapping the rest of the warriors inside. Rorik tucked the now empty spellbook back into his inventory.